everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy. The favoritest, the best, the hottest, the sexiest Grey's Anatomy podcast in the entire history of the universe, Earth, planet, world. You have your two favorite hosts. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a beautiful day for a podcast.
What
should
a day.
We address the controversy? It's not really a controversy. Sorry we didn't have an episode last week. Sorry that we did an episode that was not about Grey's Anatomy exclusively. We did talk a little bit about Grey's Anatomy. We did not. And I literally thought, I was like, this is such a good solution. The thing was, it was either going to be a little baby episode or no episode at all. And we did not want to do no episode at all because we've recently done that. And we don't like doing that. It's when that happens, it's because we couldn't figure anything out. But so we didn't want to do another no episode. So we did a little episode and I thought everyone will love this conversation. And I was wrong. And that's okay.
Yeah.
If you don't want to listen to me talk about Travis and Taylor, that's fine. You don't have to. I will not be mad that you don't want to listen to that.
Right. Right.
I understand that that's not why you subscribe to this podcast. And you know what? I will say this. I did not give the preempt on Instagram of this is
fair.
Not a regular
that's
episode
fair.
And that's on us. And I apologize for that. I am sorry. So, but we're back this week with our regularly scheduled shenanigans about our regularly scheduled hospital. So thank you all so much.
I don't want to throw Kelsey completely under the bus here, but when she says that we forgot to post something on Instagram, I don't have access to Instagram, so
And I don't want to throw Carmen completely under the bus, but when I say we couldn't record a full episode, I mean he couldn't record a full episode.
And I don't want to throw Jessica under the bus, but when
I don't want to throw Michael under the bus.
Also, look
but
at
but we oh, will.
Look what I'm using today. I'm using the.
Oh, look at us. We're twins.
Twins. Look at that. You know, I think it's almost time that we replace this. So once all of our money hits our account, I think there's a couple folks we have gifts we need to get this to.
You guys, who knew? It's not actually that terribly difficult to start a business, but it is way more difficult to start a business bank account when you cannot just both go together to a bank and say, we want to open an account.
Yeah.
I also will be honest, as this probably makes me sound dumb, but I don't care because why would I know this? I didn't realize that a business bank account was so drastically different than just having a bank account. And it makes perfect sense because of the fucking government or whatever dumb shit. But man, do they want our firstborn children to open this forsaken bank account.
It is wild. It's wild to think about. And it's also funny too. So when we were going through, Kelsey is not Kelsey's name, right?
So
and then
true.
Carmen is Carmen's name, but I go by with my middle initial.
Because
so
there's
it's
another Carmen Magnolo.
Yeah. And there's also a dead one, too. So
there's many Carmen Magnolos. There's really not that many Kelsey Werners, to my knowledge. But but not going by, but I do go by Samantha. And then I always forget. When I called the bank to ask them a question, I was like, it's Kelsey Werner. And they were like,
that person doesn't exist.
People always just freeze because they see that everything else I've told them matches. And then I'm like, give them the name. And they're like, they'll just go, and I go, it might say Samantha. And they're like, oh, okay, cool.
Jesus. That is hilarious. But anyways, we're back. We're here. Also, I'm going to give a gentle shout out to, there's a listener out there who had made a comment on our Spotify, and we had a little bit of a conversation. I saw that the comment was removed. You kind of posted back. To be clear, no one was mad. We all have differing opinions. You are very much welcome in our community here. So thank you for thank you for commenting on our podcast. And we also recognize that there's a little bit of listening. You comment a ton, so don't stop. We love it. We love you. So thank you for that. I'm not going to mention names. You know who you are. You'll be listening to this, and you'll know. But
We don't want you to feel like
There was
the
no
whole
shame,
thing that
no
I was
anger.
Saying was like, honestly, like I am apologizing because I truly was like bebopping through life. Like, wow, I'm such a problem solver. And then I realized maybe that wasn't the solution that I thought it was. And that's
a pretty
a
good
learning
solution,
experience. Yeah, it was a solution. It was a good solution for what we had. It just in my brain, I was like, this is the perfect solution.
Yeah, it was good. It was a fun episode, and we also don't get a chance to do the Patreon stuff very often. But anyway, so let's jump into to an episode. We actually do have two new reviews.
Oh yeah.
Do we want to do that next episode, or should I just do those now?
You can do those now.
Okay. So we've got two new reviews I want to shout out. And also, if you've been on the if you've been teetering, if you've been on the fence, and you want to shout out Grey's Academy, And you have Apple Podcasts, or maybe you had it and then you deleted it, go re-download it, because we really appreciate the follows, the likes, the subscribes, the 5 stars, and we love reading these comments. We read all of them, and we're so close to 100 reviews. We'd love to get some more 5-star reviews out there. And honestly, if you gave us a 1-star review or a 2 or a 3 or a 4 and you've listened for a long time, go back and change it. You know, it's not too late to learn the error of your ways. It's okay. So this one is from T. Staffy, or maybe it's pronounced Saffy, like T-S together. Staffy.
I see.
The title is, and I love this. I think this is in the running for the best title of any review we've gotten. The McPodcast of My McDreams.
Wow.
I think that's really good. 5 stars, obviously, hair flip. Finally caught up on the podcast after months of slowly listening every day, and it was very worth it. Carmen and Kelsey have such great banter, and I can't help but actually laugh out loud on my drive to work. Seeing Carmen's reactions to watching the show for the first time, and Kelsey's excitement to seeing his reactions is just so great. If you love Grey's, please check this one out. We agree. Do that.
We do.
This next one is from Pro Veggie. 5 stars. Fun Pod is the title. Started watching Grey's in April and listened to Grey's Academy as well. I just caught up to real time. What am I going to do with my life now? Well, Pro Veggie, when you get caught up, the answer is Patreon. So
you know what? I'm also Pro Veggies.
I'm also Pro Veggies.
I roasted some carrots the other day. Those things are good as hell.
You know what I'm actually eating right now? As a snack in between not eating today and then this. It's not veggies, but it is just straight up sardines. So
ew, gross. You know what? I had a snack right before we started, and it was this. The opposite of veggies. Gummies.
Yeah.
It's like a miracle that I have teeth in my mouth, honestly. Okay.
And then also do just want to shout out Christian, who is like spearheading a full Facebook campaign for us. So if you go on Facebook now and search Grey's Academy Podcast, you will find us. So shout out. That's all I've got today. There's more, but I'm going to have to do them next week. There's just like, I have literally so many and we have so little time.
Yes. Also, Amy is a new Patreon.
Amy! Yes!
Yes, it was Amy. Okay. So, yay. Okay. This episode is episode 15 of the 9th season. It is episode 187 overall. It is called Hard Bargain, and that is a song.
Hard Bargain is a song that I could tell you from the beginning did not like it. For every bit of that song that I listened to, I did not like it. here's the joke, folks. I didn't listen to it other than the first 1 second, and then I jokingly said I didn't like it. So I'm not going to rate this one, but I will tell you guys, it is the 26th, you've heard this right, the 26th studio album by country music singer-songwriter Emmylou Harris, released on April 26, 2011, and it is recorded, it was in Tennessee, it was released from Tennessee. So she recorded this in Tennessee. Very
shout
cool.
out.
Shout out. Not Chattanooga, though.
No.
This did pretty well charting. I gotta wonder, is this like Emmylou Harris, are you good because you've been around forever? Or is this good because the whole album is good? I don't know. I didn't listen to the song. I will listen to it. I will circle back next week and tell you guys if it made it to the Carmen's iTunes library or not. But I'm going to go on a limb and say probably not. Don't judge me if you're an Emmylou Harris fan. I apologize.
I will say
Are you an Emmylou Harris fan?
I don't have a feeling one way or the other, but I do know the name. Like, definitely a big name, I would say, in where I live.
Tennessee.
Yes.
Yeah. So it reached, these are the places that it was the top 100 in 2011. Number 48 in Australia. Number 39 in Belgium. 20 in Canada. 49 in Germany. 36 in Ireland. 28 in New Zealand. 11 in Norway. 76 in Switzerland. 30 in the UK. And the album reached 18 in the U.S. Billboard 200 and then number 3 in the U.S. Billboard Top Country Album. So I'm going to go ahead and, just because of how well it charted, going to give it a 3 objectively. Subjectively, I have no opinion. And with that, Kelsey, I turn it back to you.
Thank you so much. This episode was written by William Harper, directed by Tony Phelan, aired February 14th, 2013, Valentine's Day. Interesting that it wasn't a Valentine's episode, because they have explicitly had Valentine's Day episodes prior to this. So interesting choice.
Valentine's Day wasn't even mentioned.
I know.
Nothing.
8.57 million views. So kind of lingering in that. And Netflix has booted me off because it hates me. But the Netflix synopsis for this one is: Owen is faced with tough decisions as Seattle Grace spirals towards financial ruin. Joe and Alex try to save an infant's life.
So, I don't know. It's okay. It's all right.
Yeah, it's fine.
So, I actually watched this episode last week. I was prepared for this episode. We both were.
Yeah.
The world should know. But I rewatched this episode driving to work today.
Well, you listen to it.
We'll listen to it. Yes. No, I listen. Actually, I got pulled over today.
Did you actually?
Yeah, I did.
What happened?
Did they
say, "What are you? The fuck are you doing?" And you said, "I'm watching Grey's Anatomy."
And they said, "Carry on." And they asked for a selfie, and then they said, "No spoilies." And that was great. No, they didn't like that I didn't have a front license plate.
Oh, is that illegal where you live?
Yeah, but like it just looks so much better without it.
We don't have that rule here.
Well,
I always thought that was weird because I do think they have it in Virginia. So when I went to college right on the border of Virginia and I learned that that was a law, I was like, that's so weird.
Dumb law. Yeah, he was actually pretty cool. He's like, he saw my shirt and he's like, "Are you a veterinarian?" I was like, "Nah, but I boss him around." And he's like, "Love the work you do." I said, "Thanks. I don't do it." but he was like, "I'm just going to give you a warning. Just like, go to court, show him a picture with a license plate on the front and you're fine." And I'm like, "Okay, whatever." So I got to figure out how to go to court in a city that I've never been to before because I passed through it on the highway. So fuck me.
Fun.
It's fine. Anyways. But one of the things I noticed, I didn't catch this the first time. Joe was asking about the workplace relationships because she was asking out a dude.
Yeah.
Didn't catch that the first time.
Yeah. They make you think that maybe that's not it. Maybe she's thinking about Alex and then.
Well, when Steph at the end, I don't know if we want to start here with the whole baby thing, but like at the end when Steph is like, "Oh yeah, she finally got the balls to do this." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, cool." Totally over my head that she was the one bringing up the conversation this whole time. It didn't click to me. But she was asking Alex's opinion so that she could go ask out that dude.
Yeah. Also, that storyline, like the fact that they're like in the synopsis, like Joe and Alex fight to save an infant's life. Like, yes, technically that's what they're doing, but that storyline is about those parents. Like, it's not really. It's barely about that baby.
Don't even think the baby had a name.
Yeah. I just
remember Tommy.
I do remember Tommy. R.I.P.
Oh, yeah. Tommy. I forgot, actually.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Forgot Tommy died.
Boy.
Wow. I'm so much more sad now.
I'm fresh sad.
Let me eat some sardines to feel
better.
That's
disgusting. I hate it when you do that. Okay. So. Yeah, the patient. Okay, so this storyline with Joe and Alex is these two people who had worked together. They're both lawyers, I believe. They had like gotten drunk at an office party and boned, and she got pregnant, and she like goes to this guy and she's like, hey, it's fine. You do whatever you want. I actually don't care, but I am keeping this baby. And he was like, well, I will be in my kid's life, blah, 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 all this stuff. They hate each other. And I'm like, do you? Why did you have sex? Because it feels like you hated each other beforehand. Did you think that having sex was going to solve that? Did you think that maybe you don't? Like, I'm confused.
They weren't thinking. They were fucking drunk. They were thinking with their genitals.
Yes, but they say a drunk man's words are a sober man's thoughts. And I would say that's even truer with actions.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever done anything with my drunk actions that were bad.
I've also not like this.
Well, that's that was hungover actions.
Well, not like this. You were drunk.
Oh yeah, that's right. I was drunk, but that was not. Those were just words, not actions.
And well, yeah, anyway, so it was just weird to me because I'm like, you guys hate each other so aggressively. And it's not like
there was no underlying like love at all.
It didn't even seem like there was chemistry at all. It was like, just weird. It was hard for me to buy into. Like, I'm like, yes, is it like funny that these people talk to each other like this? Kind of. It's unhealthy. I already feel bad for that kid.
Oh yeah, therapy all around. Therapy.
Like I can't imagine they're going to co-parent very well. Also, I hate it when, like, this is kind of like a trope, right? Where you're like, oh, where someone gets pregnant unintentionally outside of a relationship, and they're like, you can do whatever you want. I'm going to keep it. And the guy will sometimes say, oh, I'm going to be there because it's, quote, the right thing to do. And I think, to me, for some reason, the right thing to do is not the same as saying because I want to be there. And for me, it needs to be because I want to be there. Like, I want to have this child as well. And that is not to say you need to be with the person, because you absolutely don't need to. And you, right, like, you don't need to stay together for a baby or try to be together for a baby if it's not a like good relationship. But the point being, like, the quote right thing to do, I don't know why that phrase just like it doesn't sit right with me. I'm like, again, because I'm like, this is a person, this is a child. It's not about, yeah, oh, this is the, like, I'm doing it because it's right. No, it's like you need to want to do it. There's otherwise also, you don't need to do it, because like if having a kid, like if you don't want to, like it changes your life in a way that I'm like, if that's not something you want, you're going to be resentful in a way that will negatively impact an entire human being.
A like, generation of humans.
Look at, like, Ellis Gray. She didn't want Meredith, and Meredith was really aware of that.
Yeah.
So, it's, I don't know. I mean, he ends up, like, they then make it seem like he does want a kid. So I was like, I just don't like that phrasing. And again, it's kind of I've seen it in other media where this like similar storyline happens. So I just think that, I don't know why, it just bothers me when people say that.
It's also like the right thing to do is all subjective.
Yeah, that's true as well.
You know, so the right thing for me would be like, okay, you want this kid? Like, okay, let's get something on the, like, if I was the guy, even if I wanted to be the father of that kid, like, let's set up some ground rules. Let's talk about financial, like, let's go talk to a lawyer. This is what we want to do.
Yeah.
But like, the right thing to do is also, I don't want to be with you. I fucking hate you. This was a drunk office hookup. You're not the love of my life. You're not the parent that I want to.
Well, they did not do that. They're not together.
Yeah. But I mean, like, going and having something legal.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like setting everyone up for success.
Yeah.
Where then you're not going to be using this child to like, as a pawn to bother the other person.
But there's also, you know, the right thing to do is sometimes not be a part of that life, you know? Yeah, sometimes, guys, like, the women are better off without you. Okay.
If that ain't true.
Like, let's go.
Like, yeah, I understand when they're saying, like, when you think of, like, the stereotype of a quote-unquote deadbeat dad. And I'm talking about in the realm of media as it's presented to us. I'm not talking, this is not something I can, like, speak on from, like, personally. So that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, the way it's presented in media, in shows and television and, like, movies. When you say it's the right thing to do, I think the comparison is, like, someone who was like, let's have a kid, and then, like, bailed. That is objectively, in my opinion, wrong. Like,
yeah, objectively and I think subjectively.
Also both. Very different than someone accidentally getting pregnant and saying, hey, you know what? Like, you can be as involved as you want or not involved as you want, but just so you know, I am keeping this baby. To me, yeah, those are so different that, like, I don't think it's a one for one. Anyways, that phrasing really obviously bothered me. So I needed to speak on that.
Yeah. No, that's totally fair.
Anyway, so she has this baby.
Yeah, she has
the baby. And there's an issue. The baby needs surgery, and they're both concerned, rightfully so, you know.
Unable to make decisions, like, totally.
Which, like, I will say, in a postpartum state, that to me is believable, especially if you don't know, like, if you're not told during pregnancy, this is a high risk or this is going to be the situation, you know, if you just go into labor and you're like, everything's fine. And then all of a sudden you're slammed with, like, these things, especially the first time you have a baby. I have to imagine, like, it's not hard for me to believe that she would be like, I have no fucking clue. And you don't, like, just because that man is also there, I would not consider that a support system.
No. No.
So I would, like, to me, it's believable that she's, like, frozen in that moment.
Yeah, it is. I think one of the things I don't like about this guy in this episode, other than the whole circumstance, is that
everything.
He keeps saying, like, I don't know why she's like, you're the toughest bitch I know. Like, you're the, like, okay, yeah, but, like, bro, like, she's not immune to hormones. And yeah, also, this is a human fucking child on the line.
Yeah.
Anyways, it was stupid. Let's take, like, 1 second. Also, I think it's important to note, guys, like, these are going to be probably just a few minutes shorter than usual. We're going to cut the middle episode right here. Have a quick word from our sponsor, and we're going to plow through this. We could do this. We could stay on focus. We can better. Do it. Capitalism, do your thing, but, like, not too much. Like, just go easy on us. We'll be right back. And we are back.
Yay.
Love it. So, yeah, and then that's, I will tell you, when they go back and forth, and they do a lot of fun cinematography in this episode, the backs, yeah, and forths, mm-hmm, the swirls arounds. It's like,
yeah, I noticed that as well. I was like, oh, we're getting fancy kinda, behind the camera.
It kind of felt like a fun mix of, like, that 70s show before that one dude became a bad person, and, like, Ocean's 11, you know? Yeah. Like, it was like
with, like, a lot of that was, you know, with the Callie and Derek and Meredith, yeah, and Arizona, yeah, conversations. And I feel like they did it in the previous episode as well, but I might be getting confused because of that. I watched this a week ago and then again yesterday. So in my brain, it might have been two separate episodes that are actually the same episode.
Yeah, but it's possible. Yes,
I also noticed that. I did like it. I felt that it added the drama. It raised the stakes for that specific storyline, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So to summarize, was there anything else with Alex and Joe and Callie? I mean, Alex and Joe and the baby?
I mean, there were a couple scenes where, like, it leads into Joe asking those questions, but it kind of keeps coming back. The first time Joe brings it up, she kind of ignores it. The second time Joe brings it up, Alex is like, yeah, I think it could work, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
well, and it's like, okay, so, like, to your point of they make it seem like Joe is just bringing it up, you know, oh, is she maybe thinking, they definitely make it seem like Alex is like, it could work because we can work.
Yeah.
Because Meredith has planted the seed.
Yeah.
And
which, like, come on, Meredith. Yeah. Like, stop ruining all of our lives. Can't we just enjoy some platonic
yeah,
friendships?
Yeah, platonic
here?
Is fine. And, like, Alex is doing fine.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to be, like, looking for anything right now. He's just focusing on
just being a homeowner.
And being,
you know,
a homeowner, you know, just homeowning it up.
Yeah. The way you just, like, said those two together, it just sounded like you said homeowing it up.
Homeowing it up. And
which is
so
fine.
Yeah, it was just safe annoying space. Like, it's not, that's not, he doesn't have to have
a relationship to be of a value, and neither does anybody.
No, no, okay. For sure. I just thought it was funny that, you know, so they have the one scene where the little kid makes it through, like, into the clear zone based on time, and they're still talking about it. The reveal at the end was kind of intriguing when he's like, yeah, the parents are dicks to each other, but then Alex asks Joe if she wants to grab a beer, and she's like, I got plans.
Yeah.
With Chest Peckwell?
Not hilarious. His real name, but
no,
funny.
I
yes,
know.
A good funny. A good fake name for a person.
So, and then Steph comes in, and that's the reveal. She grew up here, asked him out, and then he's like, oh, yeah, 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 like, totally, I knew about that guy. Liar, Alex. But the only other note that I had on this this particular storyline is that one scene where they can't make decisions, the baby's crashing, all of this is happening,
mm-hmm.
and they keep going back and forth between doing a surgery and then saying wait.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't do it. And they both have like this breakdown, and he goes, we both decide, I'm scared too. You're the biggest ball busting nightmare queen I've met. And if I mm-hmm. could do this, you can too. Which is like a weird compliment, whatever. But when she comes out and she says, can I have water and a maxi pad for my girlfriend here? Classic. Hilarious. Very funny. Yeah.
Sick burn. Unhealthy, but hilarious. Toxic.
Yes. Toxic. Hey, Kitten Peanut Jones, go write a review on them.
Okay, so yeah, where are your thoughts? Obviously, Joe did not tell Alex about this guy. Did you have thoughts on that?
Yes. But
he didn't want to share them.
I think I'll keep those to myself.
Yes, I did.
My favorite part of the podcast is the part where we don't talk. So there were initially my thought process was, oh, like, why is she hiding it? But in the context of this episode, I think it makes sense that it was just like literally it had just happened and they were doing so much with the baby. I don't think it was malicious. I just think that she didn't think to ask to tell him. And also, then my mind went to, well, but if she's like, she's got the hots for him, has Alex talked about other girls with Joe or no? And I couldn't remember. So I think that just is part of their friendship that they haven't crossed yet.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So the baby's fine. Yay. Okay. So Derek, Callie, Arizona, Meredith, medium Christina. Are going back and forth about buying the hospital. Is this possible? Is this something we want to do? It starts very drama, right? They're at Meredith and Derek's, all the windows, thunderstorm, drama, dark, it's night. It's a dark and stormy night. And they're like, again, to your point, the zoomy, spinny cameras within the conversation, back and forth, around, around. Arizona chooses this moment to say some things that I don't love. Essentially saying that Derek, well, first Derek and Arizona are like, maybe we shouldn't do it. And Callie and Meredith are like, we should. And then Derek kind of flips. And Arizona gets mad and is like, no, because I don't want to do this. I don't want to take this money from Sophia. Like, this is supposed to be for her future, blah, blah, all this stuff. And then Derek's trying to kind of change her mind. And she's like, you know, you're only doing this because you feel guilty because you didn't actually lose anything, which is a bold statement, seeing as he lost his best friend and sister-in-law.
But his hand is back.
His hand is fine, and Arizona doesn't have a leg, and we're going to make everything about this fucking leg.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the vibe. And Derek, to his point, to his credit, doesn't like retaliate or say anything. Like, Callie's like, maybe we should go. And Derek just like, okay. He just stands there silently. And Meredith is coming back into the room from checking on Zola and goes, yeah, you should go.
Yeah, get the fuck
she
out of my house.
She stands up for him, honestly. Like, and that is, you know, I understand that. Because I don't... It's one thing,
I don't know what Arizona is. I just don't think she's dealing with this very well.
I think she's just being so close-minded. She's like in such a better spot when it comes to the leg. She kind of just waxes and wanes of, is my trauma the leg or is it not? Like, she's back and forth. Is she healed? Is she not? To be clear, I am not at a limb deficit. I've not gone through that traumatic experience. I don't know what that's like. But to then lash out at someone who has, to your point, lost so much from a personal standpoint, his best friend, borderline brother, and then his sister-in-law, like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And just because it worked out after how long of Callie trying and then going back and forth and not doing surgery and then the first one not working and all that, that now it works. It's not Derek's fault that he's healed physically, maybe not emotionally. Get that man in therapy still.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a rough scene. I'm glad that Meredith stood up for Derek in that moment. And even if he did feel guilt, who cares? Like, let's try to let everyone win. Like, let's try to solve the problem as opposed to turning on each other.
Yeah. She called him egomaniacal. And I didn't love that. And also, this is irrelevant, but bothered me. Meredith said, we have the IRA.
Yeah.
I was like, the IRA?
Yeah, who's IRA? And who's, what are they going
to
do?
Who pronounces it like that? That was really weird to me.
I actually do know some people who pronounce it IRA.
That is insane. You know what? Maybe they clearly exist. Someone does, because they wrote it in like this.
I think I go back and forth. I use both. IRA.
I only ever say IRA. But I only ever hear the accountants in my life talking about it. I have nothing to say about an IRA. Couldn't tell you either way about it.
I only say IRA
because the people I know who know about money say IRA.
I got some things to say about the NRA. Do we have time for that?
Not today.
Mm.
But one day we have a full 24 hours. Okay, so... Oh, in Arizona, you're ready to sink $50 million into maintaining a good vibe? Honestly, yes. I have had so many jobs where it's like the job itself is incredible and the work environment is ass.
Yeah.
And it sucks. It sucks to get like a job you really, really wanted and worked hard for and then have that be the reality. So to have it be a great job that you love and that you've like essentially built up your career and it has been good, and then knowing it's going to change, like, and you potentially could stop it. Like, I see the argument. I'm like, Arizona to me is putting it like she's downplaying it so much. And I'm like, girl, I don't think you can afford to not be happy at work because you're already not in a good place.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like you're doing great.
Yeah.
Emotionally. And not to say that she should be. It's just to your point, like the back and forth of it. I'm like, where are you? Like, where actually do you fall in this place?
Yeah.
What do you need? Does she need more support and she doesn't feel like she has that? I don't know if she's like afraid to attempt to process anything. It's just it's not the best look, in my opinion.
Yeah. And the other thing I would call out from that scene is, and I actually am on Arizona's side on this one, when Callie all of a sudden is like, well, I can access this amount of money and we also have Mark's money and maybe Lexi's money.
Yeah.
And Arizona's like, well, hold on. Like, we should talk about this like together. And Callie says, we are talking about it right now. That's an ambush, honestly. Yeah,
I do agree with that. That would be frustrating to feel like, be like, this is a very private conversation. And then also I do want to note that Meredith makes the offhand comment that Thatcher has Lexi's money.
Yeah, I did not think that that would be the case, but that is the case.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, unless Lexi at age 25, 26, however she was, like, she was young, had filled out, you know, like a will, essentially, to name a beneficiary should something happen, then I think the automatic default would be that it would go to Thatcher. And even if she did fill out something else, I don't know that she would potentially have listed Meredith. I mean, I could definitely see it. But I honestly would assume that she didn't have one because she was so young.
I didn't do shit for beneficiaries until I was married. I think my money just would have gone to the ether if I died.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So, you know, it's... yeah. I don't judge anyone for that.
Yeah. So that I kind of would have just assumed she didn't have one. And that's why I went to Thatcher, because it just goes to your next of kin.
Yeah.
So anyways, then the next day, Arizona wants to apologize. And Derek says, no, you don't need to, which I disagree with. And
well,
he says
that she doesn't need to apologize. But when she says, I'm sorry, I called you egotistical. And he's actually like, well, it was egomaniacal, but who's keeping score?
Like, when someone says, like, I need to apologize to you, you can say, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're working on this thing right now where when one of our children does something that they need to apologize to the other one for, I don't think the default response should be, it's okay. Because it might not have been okay. That's why they're apologizing. And I feel the default response when anyone apologizes is to go, oh, that's okay. You don't need to say that. You can say, thank you, I appreciate the apology. And that is accomplishing the same thing. But not saying, well, it's okay that you threw your monster truck at me, Bennett. I don't care if you're three, Bennett. Don't do that.
Yeah.
It's not okay. So don't. I have said it, you know, it's something to repeat. I'm like, you can just thank him for the apologizing and then ask him not to do it again. Do not tell someone it's okay if it was not okay. And I just think that's a default thing that we have as like of conflict avoidance.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. But I take the apologies. I don't care.
I mean, I'm not saying like don't apologize. No, like absolutely, apologize. You should apologize. But I just think defaulting to saying it's okay. You can just I just think there's a better way to say it, because when you say it's okay, it sounds like you're saying it's okay that you did that because now you've apologized. It's still not okay that you did it, and it is good that you apologized. I think I'm going to start accepting apologies by when someone says I'm sorry. I'm going to go good. I think that's what I'm going to do.
I think that's great.
You should be.
I am great. And I appreciate your apology. And then in the middle of all of this stuff, so Derek, it's revealed that Derek made some sort of deal with Cahill that led to him being the face of the hospital, and it would make life easier for people. And all it's done is put these gigantic face posters all across the hospital. Derek doesn't like it. It, like, jump scares Derek and Meredith in the elevator. They can't avoid it. Shane loves it, and that's hilarious. But Weber's big mad and all of that. And on top of all of it, speaking of Shane, the interns are starting to get itchy in the sale of all the hospital stuff. Shane doesn't want to be a part of the pictures that Derek has to do because he would rather go do an actual surgery, not take photos looking like he's taking a surgery. And Heather and Steph, I know we'll get to this more later, but they were like talking about another job in the middle of a surgery procedure with Christina. So there's lots of stuff going on. I think that's what starts to sway Derek's opinion on this more and more and more. And that's when he gets like the really intense call of, hey, I got this crazy idea, finance guy. Like, let's talk about it. Let's figure out if we got money to do this.
Yeah. Like, figure out logistically, is this even a possibility?
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they brought this guy in, because it makes sense that, no, you wouldn't be able to just do that on a whim, just buy a hospital. Right. Especially, like, the conflict of interest to their point that the doctors, they work there. So I don't know if this is true. It sounds true to me.
True enough.
It's like when Meredith says to Christina, oh, we want to buy the hospital. And she's like, oh, do you know you have to file this thing and this thing? And Meredith's like, really? And she's like, I don't know, but neither do you. That's the point. That's kind of where I'm at. I don't know, but I believe it. So I liked Stan. Was that his name? I think it was Stan.
I think Stan.
I liked him and like the use of that character to like explain how the logistics of it would work. So they have to like form a corporation, do all this stuff. And he's like, okay, we have 3 days. You know, that's the whole thing. We have 3 days to get all this money together. Arizona comes on board because Bailey wants to leave. And she's like, wait, I am willing to pay for the vibe.
If the vibe is off for Bailey,
keeping Bailey, I will pay for the vibe.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what changes her mind. And so the whole thing is, we have 3 days until this deal with Pegasus closes. We have 3 days. Okay, well, we'll get the ball rolling. Okay, then all of a sudden Pegasus is like, let's move up the deal. We're closing tonight. Christina's finally on board with buying it because she sees that Owen, because Owen tells her, well, no, this is bad, but I don't have another choice. It's either this or no hospital. And so she's like, okay, cool. And they tell her, you can't tell Owen anything about this because for some reason we'll go to jail. If you tell Owen we're trying to do this, yeah, we go to prison.
NDAs.
The connect on that wasn't really there for me, but I love the drama, so I'm here for it.
Well, breaking, depending how intense the non-disclosure is, you could go to jail. They could sue your ass right to Folsom Prison.
Yeah. So, the secret keeping because of drama and storms, and they're meeting in secret all the time in the rain, and I love it. And so,
and Christina has to keep a secret from her bone buddy.
I literally, the note that I took at the beginning of this episode is Christina and Owen are being gross together because I'm so sick of this
all the time.
I'm so fucking sick of this. And so, all of a sudden Pegasus says, we want to close tonight. We want to be done with it. We want to finish this. We want to seal the deal. We want to close tonight. And they're
trying
like,
to
shit.
Consummate our relationship.
Yeah. They're like, shit. Well, we don't have time. We can't do any of the stuff we need to do by tonight. How do we make the sale not happen? We do some drama. We stir the pot. So they march into this boardroom. Again, it's stormy, a dark and stormy night, you know, when you normally buy a hospital. And so they march in and make a big show, make sure all the Pegasus people are there in front of Owen, God, and everybody. Derek says, I need to tender my resignation effective immediately. I no longer work at this hospital. Then Arizona, Callie, Meredith all chime in, same. And then the seas part, no one sees Christina, and she's like, same. I also quit. Dun, dun, dun. So obviously that is going to make the sale collapse because that's a mass exodus, including very top name surgeons that people come from all over the country to see at this hospital. So the value of the hospital has gone down significantly. And so Cahill's freaking out. She's like, I don't fucking know how to fix this. And Owen says, well, you're gonna.
You said that all you have to offer this world is your ability to flip hospitals. Then do it.
That's a great Owen impression.
They call me Carmen Kevin McKidd Magnolo for a reason.
I do say that. He said, everyone that I thought was in my corner just walked out, and you're all I have now.
I want to pause. Don't compare me to Kevin McKidd. Don't just. I don't like it.
We've talked about Kevin McKidd being Scottish. Have we talked about Camilla Luddington being British?
No.
That's who plays Joe.
Camilla Luddington. No, I did not.
Very
know that.
British name.
Hmm. Also, well, I guess we could talk more about this. Well, yeah, never mind. So they storm out when he is like, everyone I thought was behind me is gone and dead to me. Bro, have some self-awareness. Can you just read between the lines? Can you think for 1 second? There's probably a reason for this.
Well,
can
I know. I'm thinking, okay. Hey, Owen, do you remember like 6 episodes ago when you divorced Christina so that she would win the lawsuit?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Do you maybe is there an inkling of your teeny tiny little man brain that maybe thinks something like that could be going on? That these people, the only people that you believe to be in your corner, have all banded together to do this, maybe for a reason?
Yeah. Not everything is about you, Owen. Typical man thinks it's all about him. It's not. It's about the hospital, damn it.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's the cliffhanger of it. One of my favorite lines, or exchanges in this episode is when they all go back outside and Meredith goes, "Where's our van?" And Callie said, they moved it. And Meredith goes, "Why?" And Callie goes, "Because that's what vans are for." I just love that so much. Bit of silliness, really.
Yeah. There's a couple more points that I want to talk about with the sale and the Gray's 11 heist scenes that we get. But should we pause right here? Middle pause?
Yeah, we'll middle pause here and we'll pick this up right after everyone's favorite segment.